Well, this morning, for all of you folks, this is a special time because I've persuaded my good friend and partner, Peter Scontrino, to join us and talk about some stress management techniques, which are especially concerning to us as we work our way through this time of COVID-19. So, Peter, we're delighted you're with us, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Bill. Hello to all my friends in Cambodia, and thank you very much for giving me a chance to share some information with you about COVID and stress. Both Bill and I have had to cancel a number of trips, some of them to Cambodia, because of COVID. We feel the stress. I know you feel the stress. So I hope by the end of today's presentation, we'll remind you of some tools you already have and maybe give you a few more tools you can use for yourself and for the people working with you in your NGO to better manage your stress. I'm going to run straight through my presentation, and then we'll stop the video. And after I stop the video, then I'll take questions. So please write your questions down as we go through here, and you'll have a chance to ask them, and we'll share the answers with everybody. We're ready to go, Bill, so here I go. If you don't have a copy of the PowerPoint, you can get it from Sopal. She's happy to share that with you. And like all the presentations that Bill and I do, you can use these wherever you want. So you can take the PowerPoint and use it with your NGO, with other NGOs, or with anybody else you want to share it with. So COVID's impact on mental health. 78% of the global workforce say the pandemic has negatively affected their mental health. That's 3 out of 4 people. So if you have 8 people in your NGO, that means 6 of them are feeling some degree of stress because of COVID. And as you can see from the second point on the slide, people are feeling a lot of different symptoms, physical and psychological, from stress. And we know that stress is dangerous. Stress can lead to heart attack, strokes. It can lead to some bad habits, whether it's not exercising or eating too much or drinking too much or smoking so much. So we really need to be able to manage our stress. So here are some things for you to think about that you can ask yourself and ask people in your NGO. What's the impact of COVID-19 on your well-being and on their well-being? What does coping look like? We're going to show you a biopsychosocial framework for understanding stress and coping. This gets into both biology and the psychology and sociology of coping. We're going to look at the individual nature of coping, and then we're going to talk about things you can do to improve your coping and the coping of others during COVID. COVID and life. Mental health. The pandemic has led to increased stress, loneliness, anxiety, and depression. For Bill and me, we really look forward to seeing our friends in Southeast Asia. And we're a bit depressed. We can't go there. We're experiencing some loneliness. And you're a friend far away. What happens to our friends who are near to us and that we're not seeing because of COVID? Coping skills. Everyone has unique coping skills. Some are adaptive and some are maladaptive. And we use these to deal with stress. And we've learned these coping skills throughout our whole life. Now's the time to reflect on them and say, which of these coping skills are healthy and which are not healthy? Overall wellness. Working on positive coping skills can help us deal with the uncertainty of the pandemic and maintain our overall well-being. So now I want to pause for a minute and have you think about and write some notes for yourself only. How well are you coping with the COVID pandemic? Now that you have some notes to reflect on, you can think about those as we're going through the rest of the presentation. COVID distress might look like this: increased anxiety and uncertainty. And uncertainty about my job, uncertainty about my NGO, uncertainty about my community, uncertainty about the country. How long is COVID going to last? All of that. There can be feelings of loneliness or sadness. In America, a lot of people are working from home now who've never done it before. And they don't have a family. They're all by themselves. So they sit at their computer and the only company they get is Zoom meetings with other people. Feelings of helplessness and frustration. What can I do? COVID is so much bigger than I am. It's affecting the whole world. There's nothing I can do. That can lead to depression. Changes in eating or sleeping patterns. If I'm used to exercising on a regular basis and I don't, that can affect my sleeping. If I'm sitting in front of my computer screen all day and eating snacks and drinking sodas and things, that can affect my, not only my weight, but also my sleeping pattern. Changes in substance abuse. We can abuse anything. We can abuse food. We can abuse coffee. We can abuse alcohol, other drugs, smoking. How am I doing on that regarding substance abuse? I can get burned out on information and all the things we're getting about COVID. In the daily newspaper I have in my hometown, every day there's at least one full page devoted to COVID statistics. I've gotten to the point where I don't even look at that page anymore. I find it depressing. COVID can exacerbate existing mental health concerns. So if I was already a little bit depressed, COVID can help me be a lot more depressed. So again, I'd like you to take a minute and respond to this question. What symptoms, what things have you noticed in yourself and in other people? And something you might think about, you can actually take this slide, use it with your staff, and use this as a team building session and have people make notes what they've seen in themselves and others and share that information. It can be a true team building exercise. So what is coping? Coping refers to the way we respond to or manage stress and uncomfortable emotions. Coping is the way we respond to life's demands. I have to move my camera so I can see the rest of my screen. For example, how do you react when you're under a lot of stress? What do you do? What do you think? How do you feel? And coping can be adaptive or it can be maladaptive. So we have some pictures here of adaptive coping. Someone's using yoga to work with their stress. Then we see some maladaptive coping. Someone is using alcohol to try to drown their stress. I hope we stay on the adaptive coping and avoid the maladaptive coping. There are many consequences of not coping effectively. They can include prolonged distress. They can include having a short-term gain by avoiding your stress today, but longer-term pain when we finally have to face the stress. The stress can build up and build up and build up and then maybe explode in us. So we're going to talk about the biopsychosocial model that looks at biological, psychological, and social aspects and their complex interactions in understanding health and our experiences as humans. All of these elements influence our well-being. And we're complex, and the model is complex as well. So all the things we can look at, we could start with the psychological. What's our mental health? Our emotions, our self-esteem, what do we believe? How are our coping skills? What's our temperament? What are our social skills? How do we handle trauma and grief? How do we manage interpersonal relationships? And you notice all three of these circles overlap, and we call where they overlap mental health. Biological framework, our neurochemistry, our physical health. Do we have metabolic disorders? Do we have any comorbidity? What's our immune stress response? What about effects of drugs? What's our diet and lifestyle? What about genetic vulnerability? And then the social and environmental aspects. What about our peer group? What about work, school? Again, diet and lifestyle, effects of drugs, interpersonal relationships. What about our socioeconomic status? What about culture? What about family circumstances? We need to consider all of these things to look at stress from a biopsychosocial framework. Coping is very individual. One size doesn't fit all. We don't have a comprehensive coping manual and tell everyone to use it. We all need to discover which coping mechanisms work for us. Something that I find really helpful is exercise. I find that after I go running, it's much easier to cope for me to cope with things around the world. Bill enjoys massages, particularly foot massages. And I know he's much more relaxed and stress-free after he's had a massage. So what are some of the things you do to cope with stress? And again, I'm going to pause for a minute and let you note some of the things that are an answer to this question. And as for the previous question that I suggested you could share with others in your NGO, your answers to this one and the answers of your coworkers are great things to share. You may do some things that are very effective for coping with stress that other people might not have thought about. So it's a great idea to share this information with everybody else. So a few tips to think about, but really consider what works for you. Take care of your physical health. Do you go for a walk? Do you exercise? What does it look like? Maintain social connections. Reach out and make a call to someone, even if you have to do it on Zoom. Maintain those social connections and take a break. And a break can be as simple as standing up, moving away from your computer, looking out your window for 2 or 3 minutes, and then come back to your work. All of those can be helpful. Keep a routine. And a routine helps you not forget to do important things. Spend some time outside. We all know how important sunlight is, so go outside for just a few minutes or more. And reach out for help. And reach out for help doesn't mean shouting, "Help me," but when you're under stress, talk to other people you respect. Find something that's going to work for you. Now we have 10 minutes for questions and discussion, so I'll give you a couple minutes to write your questions down, and then we'll open it up to the whole group. And again, thank you for allowing me to make this presentation to you.
And Peter, while they're writing their notes down, I want to personally thank you for putting the time and energy into bringing this information together into a nice, tight, concise presentation and for sharing it with the group.
You're welcome, Bill. And thank you for asking me. And I enjoy doing this. Have a nice day.